All right, as we're all pouring in, today is a fun coaching call. You guys will just be able to raise your hand. I don't think we had, Betsy, you'll tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is open coaching. Yes, it is. What we're going to do is we're going to focus in on the hunger scale today. So we're doing the hunger scale challenge this week, and something super interesting came up in the Facebook group today as I was checking in, and someone had mentioned that she said that she was having some resistance, that she'd been doing the hunger scale well, and that she was having resistance to doing the one where she waits till 10 because she's been doing good. And for some reason, it just wasn't settling well. And, you know, I don't think I should do it. Guys, I'm going to tell you, for all of you who think you have your hunger scale dialed in and you're like, you know, I'm just not going to waste my time doing this. I'm already good, blah, blah, blah. That is a signal that there's an opportunity to grow. There is something there that where like it sounds like confidence, but if it's like, you know, I've got this dialed, I'm losing weight, like if you feel ultra confident and stuff, you would be willing to do the hunger scale challenge. It wouldn't be a waste of time. It'd be like, oh yeah, I'm going to see how good I'm doing it. Your action line would be to do it because it would be like a no-brainer to you. When there's resistance, when you think that there's like, yeah, I don't know if I really need it, especially if your thought is, I don't know if I really need it, you absolutely do. There's something in there about it that's bothering you. That's the time to do it anyway, to just show yourself, one, how far you have come. I mean, one of the best things for a lot of you when it's doing the hunger scale challenge, when you've kind of been in the tribe for a while, like a lot of you, this is like your fourth rodeo with hunger scale challenges and with doing the no BS. It really gives you a landmark of like, I remember the time when I threw a fit because I had to wait till 10 a.m. to eat. And now, like, it's like so easy for me. It allows you to take stock of where your journey has come from. And for those of you, this is your first time, you will learn so much about doing it. You will learn, like, one of the neat things about doing the challenge is that you get to, what I would encourage you guys to do is as you're doing each one, listen to what you think about. You're going to hear things that you don't normally listen for when you're just practicing the hunger scales. Like we all know we need to eat 2 to 2, but this is what I think is super interesting is when you know you're doing the challenges, listen to what you think and listen to what you like talk about. And that's the stuff to work on. And that's just the stuff to notice. It's not that any of that's a problem. I just want you to be like, you know what? So funny. I didn't even know that some days, like if I'm going to have to stop when I can't finish my meal, that I throw a fit in my head. Like that's the stuff that you will know. Because what happens is that you guys will do that unconsciously in your regular life. Like how many times have you been, let's say you're at work, and you're having your beautiful lunch and some asshole comes in and says, hey, like I need you to get in here. We've got a meeting and like shit's hitting the fan and you don't get to finish your lunch. Well, the rest of the day, there's this low level. I didn't get to eat. I didn't get to finish my lunch. That's so unfair. Like you'll hear bullshit that you'll hear when you're doing the challenge. And that's the low level stuff that runs automatically underneath. And you wonder why on those days you end up eating at night. It's not because you got pulled into a meeting. It's because you have unchecked thoughts around hunger and not finishing food. So I think this is a great week for all of us to be able to just kind of re-listen to the conversations that we have and all the things. Whether you are successful, like whether you actually make it till, let's say, the 10 o'clock challenge or whatever. That's to me the most uninteresting part. It's what all do you notice about how you show up for it? And where are you going to go from there? What are you willing to learn about yourself? What are you willing to challenge yourself on? If you don't do it exactly, like let's say that you're like, you don't do it right. And I do that in air quotes for everybody listening on the podcast. If you don't do it right, you know, am I willing to learn from it? Or am I going to get in my shitty diaper, take a big dump, and then play in it? Like that's the stuff we have to do. We have to start seeing ourselves when we're successful, when we're going through it, and we have to start listening to ourselves for when we aren't as successful as we want and being willing to like, am I going to continue to beat myself up? Am I going to, like, so interesting. I just keep doing shit like that. I should probably stop. Like, this is the lesson I'm supposed to learn. So the next time we do the hunger scale challenge, I can more focus on learning. So those are the things to be thinking about. We have a couple of questions and I'm going to coach a couple people. I realize I am scared of being hungry and also scared of being uncomfortable. How can I find out why? You just ask yourself, why? Why am I scared of being hungry? Make a list. Here's the things I think that might happen. Like, the easiest way is to, like, it's not hidden in there. So don't tell yourself, like, I just don't know why. It's because you probably never have really asked yourself and pushed yourself to write out why. So I would get out a TDL page and I would be like, I am scared of being hungry. It might be because, and then I would make myself write for 5 minutes about it. And you just write, guys. You just keep writing. You just keep writing. You let it, even if you have to write, like, I'm really not sure if this is right. You know, this is harder than I thought. Like, you have to keep writing. Your brain, through the writing process, eventually will throw some shit out there. Then you can go back and you can read it. You also said, also scared of being uncomfortable. Then you could do one on that. So what I would do, Sacha, if I was you, is I just heard of this exercise in a book, and it's about a completely different thing, but it totally applies here. What you can do is you can write every single day for 5 minutes on the same question. So give yourself a week to be like, you know what? I'm really going to figure out why I'm so scared of being uncomfortable when it comes to being hungry and not having what I just want in the moment, right? Like, so whatever your thing is. So every day you write the same TDL and you just go for it. And you spend 5 minutes writing on that one question and you do it over a course of 7 days. The end of 7 days, you read all of them and you circle the patterns, the things that you wrote about over and over and over again. Then that's the reason why. So then you know you need to run those models. Like, the reason why I'm feeling scared, which goes on your circumstance, on your feeling line. Oh, this is, hang on. I have very little space between me and this beautiful background. And now that I have all this micage, I'm going to have to figure out how to, like, hook up here. So, oh goodness, I'm going to have to do I'm going to have to wash my board. This ink's been on here a week. So if you have your model and you do a week's worth of writing and your feeling is scared and your circumstance, let's see, what did you say? Let's just put hunger is the circumstance, or like waiting for hunger. We'll give you waiting for hunger here. And you're scared, then a week's worth of writing for 5 minutes will give you some thoughts to put through your model. So you can take a look at those, and then you'll see that here's how it's always going to play out. I almost bet you. You overeat, and this doesn't mean you have to go face down in pizza. This can just mean I eat before I'm actually hungry because I'm scared to be hungry. So if you're not hungry yet, that's still overeating, even if it's an apple, guys. I don't care what it is. And then when you overeat, it will end up proving this true. Like, if you overeat and the thought, let's say the thought is the reason why you're scared is I'll overeat. I'll eat too much. That's a very common thought for people is I'll eat too much if I get hungry. So you're scared. You end up preemptive eating is what we call it. And preemptive eating is I eat too much. You just prove, you exactly prove what you don't want to happen. So then you do these, you do the models on these so that you can clearly see, like, shit. So if I'm scared I'm going to eat too much and I end up eating apples in order to stave off, what if I just decide I'm going to be scared and I'm going to not eat to see what happens? Because this, I'll eat too much, it's already happening. Worst case scenario in that particular example is that you just end up eating too much. So what? You already are. You're already hosing yourself and you're creating a sense of fear around food. So this one, I would like decide, what do you want your intentional thought to be? I'm willing to test being hungry. I'm willing to be scared and wait for hunger. That can be an intentional model. A lot of you don't think that your intentional model has to be, I'm confident that I'll never overeat. Guys, that's a model for another day. The first model when you're scared is to get to willing. You want your feeling to be willing. Like, are you willing to do it anyway? I'm going to bring being scared along with me. You can even tell yourself, of course I'm scared. I've always thought that I would overeat. Oh, wait, I'm already doing that. So I might as well be scared and wait for hunger and see what happens. What if I don't eat until 10 anyway? I found when I started listening to my hunger signals that I really wasn't hungry till 10. You just wait till 10. You've got that one. That one's on lock for you. I want to rock the hunger scale and intermittent fasting, but the last several times I've done it, I feel great and in control. But then out of nowhere, I'm hit with an intense 3-day migraine. Okay. Here's my thing. Have you ever had migraines outside of doing that? I suspect it's blood sugar. Now I'm hesitant to get too hungry because I don't know how far is too far. I can go about 14 hours overnight, but then eat every 3 to 4 hours. Any suggestions? I think you are assuming that the migraine has something to do with the eating. And that's just an assumption. What I would do is like try doing a lesser fast. If you like, just notice how long can I go? If you can go 14 hours overnight and like, I want you to think about this. If you can go 14 hours without eating at night, then you can probably go throughout the day and wait 5 hours versus 4. Right? Like, you can do intermittent fasting if you want. Guys, I don't think you guys have to lose weight at all. I think it's a tool for some people, especially for some people who have like health issues and stuff. But I don't think that you all have to do it. There are days I eat breakfast. There are days I don't. I just listen to my hunger scale. There are some days I'm just busy. It's so much easier to wait until 1 o'clock in the afternoon to eat because in my mind, I don't think, here I am, intermittent fasting. You know what I think? I want to enjoy my meal. I'm willing to be hungry and wait because I know not eating isn't going to kill me. And so I wait. But I think you just need to decide, do you want to be someone who is intermittent fasting or not? If it's not working for you, then don't do it. But there's no reason, like I would watch your thought that you have to eat every 3 to 4 hours to prevent 3-day migraines. I don't think that waiting 5 hours, like I would just wait until you're hungry. And if you think it's low blood sugar, here's the thing. For all of you who think you have blood sugar issues, then go to the doctor and have it tested. It's nothing to fuck around with. Don't sit around indulging in the idea, I got low blood sugar. Go have it tested. Prove that you have low blood sugar so that you can design your health like a CEO. That would be like running a business and saying, I think we're running out of money. But I don't know. I don't really want to go look and see. So let's just keep doing some stuff and hope there's money in there. Guys, if you have been to the doctor, well, what did they say? Low blood sugar or not? If it's not, if they said no, it's not low blood sugar. So don't make a connection. If you're on metformin, I don't know enough about all that, Celeste. You have to like decide all that for yourself. But what I'm like, if you think that when it comes to intermittent fasting, let me just say this, guys. I'm not a huge fan. I don't think there's anything wrong with you guys waiting for, you know, 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock or whatever to eat your breakfast, to do the coffee in the morning. I don't even consider that true intermittent fasting. Here's what I think. I think a lot of you try to use it as a weight loss tool and you're using it from a place of thinking you can't lose weight any other way or you're using it as a quick fix. I don't agree with that. That's the wrong reason to do it. You should not be doing it. You need to get comfortable with food. You need to dial in your hunger scale and you need to dial in willingness to be hungry and willingness to stop when you're satisfied before you need to like set up intermittent fasting. And here's why. A lot of you jack yourselves up when you try it and you're doing it from a place of being desperate in the feeling line for weight loss. I do not want you guys losing weight from desperation. I want you losing weight because you love yourself enough to do it. If you're doing intermittent fasting because you're like, I want to feel better. I want to try this because I have heard people like me have amazing energy. That's loving yourself. But doing it because you're desperate to lose some weight and I'm just afraid I'm not going to be able to lose weight and stuff, guys, go do any diet at that point. That's not the PNP way. I am not trying to teach you guys how to self-loathe your weight down. I'm trying to teach you guys how to do this in a way that allows you to keep it off for the rest of your life. Intermittent fasting goes on the action line. Your weight loss, let's just put weight loss attempts or things you're going to try up here. Intermittent fasting is an action. You need to make sure that your thoughts and feelings are doing it from the right place. And like Celeste right now, that doing your intermittent fasting right now, I think is coming from it. I'm not sure, but it sounds like it's coming from fear of migraines or something. I'm not sure. I just want you guys to make sure that you clean this part up. Whether you're doing intermittent fasting, the hunger scale, or whatever, I want you to do it from love, curiosity, compassion for yourself. It can be motivation and excitement, all of that. If you're like, guys, yeah, if you have a doctor who's saying try it to control your blood sugar, I think that's fine. That's coming from love of your body. Like, I'm willing to do this. Willingness. But here's what, and if you're doing it from here, it's like, I love myself enough to do what my doctor says to get my health under control. I want to see if this is a tool that works for me, for curiosity. Compassion. I deserve to build a relationship with food that doesn't involve overeating. Maybe that's why you try intermittent fasting or whatever. Willingness. My doctor said to try it and I'm willing. That's all very different than someone who's doing it from desperation. And I want you to understand that, because I think this is really important when it comes, especially to the hunger scale and stuff, guys. When you're desperate for weight loss and you feel desperation, it comes from thoughts like, nothing else has ever worked for me. I'm so afraid I won't be able to lose weight without it. I hope this is the answer. Guys, we don't lose weight on hope. I don't want you guys hoping. I want you in control. That's very different. You don't do this and you set yourself up to be doing tricks and not truly developing a healthy relationship with the food and your future and your body and your mindset around the, and like, except I'm desperately trying to get control of my blood sugar. What if we get control over our blood sugar without desperation? I want you to ask yourself that. Could I be doing it from love instead of desperation? Let me just tell you guys, feeling desperate sucks. I want you to think about, like, let's all go to the club for a moment in our head. We're at the club, we're sitting there, and there's that desperate guy. And he is just hitting on all the ladies. He's trying everything. He's coming across creepy. He's saying shit he shouldn't say. He's doing all the things and he looks like a hot mess. We are not going to be the creepy guy at the club. We want to be the person at the club who is highly selective. We want to be that chick who's in there and she ain't desperate for no damn body. You know what she is? She's dressed right. She's got her mind in check. If a douche comes up, like a douche diet tactic comes up, she's like, oh, that's a no. I'm better than that. I'm doing my thing over here. Like, we want to be that person. I find that I can hold off for a long time, like today until 2 or 3, but I feel like as soon as I start eating, I don't or can't stop. Do I need to eat sooner? I don't think it's that you need to eat sooner. I want you to listen to your thoughts about, like, why do you suddenly, what usually happens is once you start eating, your blood sugar does change. Okay, so your body goes into the mode of like, oh, now it's time we're eating. It's not suppressing hunger anymore because it's like, it once it starts eating for the day, it's like, okay, we must be doing shit today. Time to like fuel. So like you're saying, I start eating that I can't stop. I just want you to think, I can stop. I may be uncomfortable and want to eat. Like, I just have to wait, though, for an actual hunger signal. If you have an actual hunger signal, I want you to eat. If it's not an actual hunger signal, but it's just a lot of bullshit going on in your brain about, ooh, something else would be good. It's been a couple of hours. I think I might be hungry. There's no thinking I might be hungry, guys. Wait until you're like, I'm hungry. Let's just practice that this week. I want you to challenge yourself to be like, you know what? I'm waiting until I'm actually hungry. For the next 5 days, I know what the one thing that I can do. I can survive waiting for hunger just to see what happens. I'm finding it challenging to allow an urge. What are some ideas I can do to make myself take more time to process the urge before I act on it? The first thing that I would do, guys, with urges, and I've really been working on this, is listen to what you're thinking. So there's the difference between someone who is like, I hear what I'm thinking and oh my God, it's terrible. Oh my God, this is so bad. I wish this part would end. That's you not really listening to what you're thinking. That's you dogpiling bullshit on top of it. What I want you to do is just be like, you know what? I'm practicing sitting with urges. So for the next like 15 minutes of this urge, I want to notice all my chatter. I want to notice the things that I say to myself, and I'm not going to judge them, and I'm not going to think that they shouldn't be here, and I'm not going to think that they're intolerable. If I was all of you, one thing that I would do is get out a piece of paper and write down, here is what I'm allowed to eat after I finish my 15 minutes. Write it down. It's kind of like recommitting to yourself, saying, this is what I get, so that you're not just like, fuck it, and needing relief, and then you just go and you just eat whatever. Like, literally just be like, you know what? I'm going to the 24-hour plan. I'm breaking my plan, but I'm breaking it very purposefully, very mindfully, eyes wide open. So I will allow myself to have this, and guys, make it realistic. Please don't sit there and be like, well, you know, I'm having this incredible urge. I really want to have Oreos and stuff, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to plant a carrot. That's like saying I'm not going to do it at all. Like, write down what it is that you're really wanting in the volume that you're really wanting it, and then say, and after 15 minutes of sitting with this urge, I'm taking my piece of paper and I'm going to the pantry and I will be getting what is on this piece of paper and I will be taking it back. You have to change the game. Are you going to lose weight this week eating all that food? Probably not. But what you will lose is your story that you can't control yourself and you can't sit with an urge. You will learn how to start processing in an urge. You will gain, the weight you'll gain is the gain of knowledge, the gain of patterns. You'll gain some time, and sometimes you'll choose differently. Awareness is huge in losing weight. The willingness to actually do the writing, to sit, to plan, to quit going unconscious with the food is everything. I promise you guys. I promise you. For those of you who refuse to go unconscious anymore and just be like, you know what? This is what I want you to think about. There is the urge discomfort that you can be like arguing and then eventually give in for relief and then have the discomfort tomorrow of the damage, or you can have the total discomfort of eating the food with no more lying to yourself, no more hiding from yourself, no more going unconscious, knowing the whole story and everything around it. There's all of that that comes along for the ride, and that changes everything for you. I promise you guys, when you quit ignoring yourself and you just pay attention, you will start wanting to love yourself, especially because I teach you not to judge yourself through the process. For those of you who are still judging, that's the first line of defense. It's like, all right, I'm going to write down exactly what I'm going to eat. I'm going to write down the thoughts that I'm having around it. And I do not judge myself anymore over it. This is part of my process. And I'm going to follow the process until I figure this out. I'm having a lot of success doing all the things. The thing I struggle with most is not eating everything on my plate. I have the thoughts, this is all I get. I won't be able to eat again for 3 to 5 hours based on my hunger scale. I started serving myself less so I can usually eat all the food to get to my 2. But I know this isn't solving the problem. How should I get after this? I think you keep doing the same thing. Your action line of serving yourself less and stuff doesn't need to change. You're doing it from self-loathing right now. This is all I get, which feels punitive. I want you to say, this is what I'm choosing to have. It's just a thought change. Let me coach a couple people. Guys, I won't get to all the questions because I actually want to do some coaching. Found out I did get pregnant in the tribe. How do I hone in the hunger scale when hormones got me wanting to eat all the things, trying to get my mind in line? You're still going to plan your food. You're still going to follow your hunger scale. But you probably are going to have some cravings. If I was you, Rachel, what I would do is I'd go into the tribe and I'd post about this. We have several mamas who have used the tribe because what you want to do is you want to keep your habit of planning. You want to keep your habit of recovery worksheets. You want to keep your habits of listening to your hunger scale and stuff so that when you have the baby, what happens is that when the baby comes and it's time to take the weight off, you haven't let go of everything else. You don't have to reestablish all the habits. They're just there as your hunger hormones go down and everything in the weight can start coming off. Okay, let's see who's here. Laura. Remember, guys, this is all about the hunger scale. This is not about anything other than the hunger scale. Hey, beautiful.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I think you were starting to answer it for the last person that wrote a question, not the pregnancy one, but not that one. My question is, I think I've gotten really used to getting over hunger, like -4 or below because of work. And then I think what happens even when I'm not at a lower number is when I go to eat, I can I'll hear the voice in my head, which I think for a long time was my +2, like maybe that's enough. And yeah. Now I hear this other voice that's like, no. Like, we don't want to be done yet. So I'm trying to think, like, what are some ladder thoughts that I can use ahead of time? You know, I know sometimes it's still going to be almost like a foggy. I serve myself in certain bowls. I've tried some of that. And now those portions are getting to be too big. And so I don't know if it's just buying smaller bowls all the way down or kind of coming up with.
I mean, I think you could do that. But what I would probably do, what is the thought driving you that feels disappointing?
You mean
it sounds like, because I think a lot of us go through this, like our action line or our feeling line is disappointment.
Oh, okay. Like I'm not ready to be done yet.
Yeah. So like, let's say the circumstance is, you know, my bowl of Cheerios.
Right. Exactly.
And I used to be able to eat, you know, all the Cheerios in this bowl. Yeah. And now I'm like, shit, like I'm skinny now. Like I'm getting thinner. I'm losing weight. I don't get to eat all the Cheerios anymore. That could be the thought.
I think it's on like when
small people don't eat that much.
Yeah, no, it's I've already given up so much.
I've already given up so much.
Yeah.
Well, that's a terrible thought.
I know. Or I've already tightened up so much. Like I don't feel restricted when I'm planning my food. I make usually one meal and eat it all week. And I look forward to that. I don't feel as urgent when I'm trying to drive home past Taco Bell. Like none of that stuff comes up anymore. And you know, my accountability group never heard the end of it for the first 6 months. But like now it's just whatever I'm eating chicken and rice soup this week and I get to the last quarter of the bowl and I'm like, oh no, I think I'm at my +2, but it's just sitting there. And
yeah. And it comes back to, I've already tightened up so much. And how does that feel?
Justified.
Oh, yeah. And that never gets us to lose weight.
Right.
Well, no, but justified is a different thought.
Okay.
Justified would become coming from, I've already tightened up so much, so I'm going to eat this.
Yeah. And like, or I've already tightened it up so much and I'm still losing weight, but I could go faster or I could be more consistent then.
What is the thought causing you pain? Let's put my bowl.
I should be able to have this.
And I am at 2.
Yeah.
And half the bowl is left. Let's just
maybe it's this. Wastefulness. Because I didn't really think of myself as a person that had an issue with wastefulness.
Maybe not. But what was the thought you just told me just a second ago?
I should get to have this, probably.
I should get to eat this.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the thought? I mean, that's fine if it is. I just want to make sure that I'm not planting thought seeds in you.
I'm really just trying to get my brain there. Like,
well, when's the last time you were eating and you were just like, fuck me, man. I've got these two bites left and this is bullshit.
At 5 o'clock.
Okay. What happened at 5? You had what?
Yeah, I had the chicken and rice soup. I heated it up. I ate, you know, 3/4 of the bowl and then the bottom part was left. Maybe it's just this little bit won't matter, but it's still, I hear the undertone of, I just want this and the kind of no, it's, I'm not ready to be done yet.
I'm not ready. What?
I'm not ready to be done yet.
Yeah. Or I think that's probably the one. I'm not ready to be done yet. So what?
Okay.
So what if you're not ready?
That's true. I do a lot of things I'm not ready for.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think it's a lot. I think you have several little models. I think you've got, I'm not ready to be done yet. Guys, that is what everybody thinks all the time. And you have to ask yourself, so what? Am I ready to be done with my weight loss?
Yeah.
Like that's the stuff I would ask myself, be like, well, I can either leave this chicken soup or I can be done with weight loss for the week.
Yeah.
My body is telling me I don't need it.
Yeah.
My brain, though, is telling me that I deserve it.
Yeah.
And that's when you have to, like, do your writing and you have to do your, like, you have to journal around, like,
right.
Notice this is coming up for you. And then you need to journal about what I would do in your case is this is, like, what we call the niggly thoughts, the little bitty ones. You need to do more writing around, like, well, what do I deserve then?
Okay.
And so what if I'm not done? Do I want to be the kind of person that hangs on to her last, you know, 20 pounds because of 3 bites of chicken soup? Or do I want to be the kind of person who's like, you know what? I am learning to adjust to being thin. Because I think that's more of your intentional model. It's going to be going in the direction of to adjust to being a thin person. Thin people eat less. There's less of them. Makes sense.
Right. For sure. Okay.
And one other thing I would caution you on, because a lot of people are like in your camp over here. This is always a good topic, is I would look at, why do you not want to be done?
Okay.
Why is it so pleasurable to finish the last few bites? Like, what are you making it mean? Like, what's coming up next for you? Like, for a lot of us, like for me, when this comes up, it's because I know when I finish eating, my brain's going to turn back on to everything I should be doing.
Yep.
Everything I haven't done for the day.
Yep.
We don't need to eat the last bit of chicken soup to work on, you know what? I need to work on teaching my brain to turn off for a little bit or to at least notice what I'm thinking about and being like, brain, this is rest time. Brain, we did plenty today. Giving myself credit for that stuff. Understanding there's no, like sometimes I set weird lines on myself.
Yeah.
Like, no, that will wait till tomorrow. Just because you don't need like an extra bite of salad to giddy up for this.
Right. It's not this or clean the toilet. It can be this and sit still.
Yeah. So a lot of times it's like looking at what's coming up. Like I always like to ask myself when I want to just keep eating, why do I want to just keep eating? What am I avoiding?
Yeah.
It's always thoughts. It's going to be thoughts about what you need to do, thoughts about how you've shown up, thoughts about anything. So look for like, if I'm wanting to keep eating when I know I'm not hungry, what am I avoiding? Because eating is the avoidance of something coming up.
Okay.
All right.
So eating is the action in some other model.
Yeah, because like here we're eating the bite.
Yeah, right, is the avoidance. Okay.
And so the result is I'm probably, I'm avoiding my future. Well, that's exactly it.
Quite literally. Yeah.
It, like the thought, like if you think like I have these, I just want it. And like you feel entitled and you eat the bites, then you get what you want in the moment, which avoids your future.
Right.
So we just want to figure out what's coming up next for you. And I think that will help solve it.
Thank you.
And then just be super uncomfortable leaving the food behind.
Okay.
Just solve for that one. All right.
Thank you. Okay. Bye. Bye.
I'm going to do another couple of questions and I'll call on another person. Let's see. Can you write a model about a husband food pusher? He thinks he's helping. He loves food, doesn't gain a pound, but I gain, have health issues, etc. Well, there's no food pusher. Your model is, your thought line is he's a food pusher. Who is this? Why don't you just come on the call and let me coach you? Let's say you have thoughts that he's pushing because he's thin and stuff. He's just offering food. So circumstance. Hub says, eat this. Okay. So you think he's pushing food on you. He's thin. He doesn't understand. That's all different models. Him being a food pusher is a thought. Him always being thin is another thought. And then you're feeling, I'm not sure because you didn't type it in, but you have health issues and stuff. You need to just be like, yeah, he's not like me. Of course he would offer food. He doesn't have health issues. He doesn't gain weight. It would be very normal for someone who never gains weight and has health issues to not understand why you need to eat what you are going to plan. You don't have to not like him for it. The only reason why you don't like him doing it is because what you make it mean. I think you're making it mean that your journey is going to be harder if he's offering food and he needs to stop. It's like, what if it's not harder? What if you just appreciate that he loves you enough to include you in the food and then you keep pushing back? Like, but this is what I'm going to, I love that you want me to have it, but you know what? I am ready to get my health under control, babe. This is what I'm having. Oh, yes. I bet that does taste good. I love that you think of me. But guess what? I am determined to lose this weight. And I'm going to have this because this makes me feel better than any food ever would. You start talking about it like that rather than sitting around. Like what we do typically is we sit around and we think like he just doesn't get it. He'll never understand. He's too thin. And then he offers food. And what we do is we end up sitting there and we're in resentment. Or in dread. And we act like someone who's dreadful. And we act like someone who's resentful. So we either just eat and blame him, like it's his fault that we're putting the food in our mouth, rather than taking responsibility that it's just a choice. We can decide. Or we sit there and we pretend like we're a victim to it. Like, well, either I don't want to hurt his feelings or it's too hard for me or whatever. It's like, it's only hard, guys. I want all of you to see this. Hard is a feeling. Husband offering food is not what's hard. What's hard is what you decide to think about your husband offering you food. You need to come up with all of those thoughts. And I just gave you some because he thinks he's helping. He's not. That's a thought that's not serving you. Of course he thinks he's helping. He is. He's trying to help. Like, let me just say this. How many of you in the past have had a bad day and relied on food to fix it? And then when you decide to start losing weight, I don't know why he thinks he's helping me. I don't know, because all these years, that's what's worked. You were in a much better mood when you ate. I just would challenge all of you to try to be in a better mood without eating. Teach them the new you. Rather than expecting them to suddenly become someone different and they have to erase their brain as to how you've showed up all your life. How about you decide to start showing up differently and let them appreciate the new version and figure out how they're going to change eventually. I'm just going to tell y'all, don't you put shit in here and expect me to side with you. I always go with the husbands. My overeats. I find myself becoming more aware after when I reach my plus three on the hunger scale. How can I move from a reactive to a proactive state on overeating? Eat slower. I promise you guys the best hack, literally, eat with your non-dominant hand. I think that is the surefire way to gain control over listening and paying attention more. You have to teach yourself to eat slower. And for some of us, I've always been a fast eater. We were always eating in the car. We were always at a buffet, and my mom always had to get to work. Like, I learned how to shovel it in and a lot. That was how I ate for almost 30 years. I still eat fast compared to most people. And so a lot of times, I eat with the non-dominant hand. When I really want to pay attention, like if I'm having a really decadent meal that I know I can get down on it and eat way too much of it because I will not know my positive two because I'm eating so fast. It'll catch up when I've already like gone way over. I'll eat with my non-dominant hand. Last night I was eating by myself and I was having a decadent meal. I don't know if it was decadent, but it was like this seafood paella stuff. It was actually healthy, but it was the biggest portion and it was expensive. And a small part of me was dying on the inside, knowing that I was not going to be able to take this shit back to the room. And when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, you are never going to eat all this. Like, I knew that I could eat it all, but I would be miserable. So I was like, there's no eating all of this. Like, you're going to have to slow your roll. You cannot be doing that. So I would eat a bite and I would put my fork down. And I literally, guys, I just decided I was not going to eat. I checked in and I was writing social posts and stuff. I would write a little bit and then I would eat another bite. But I made an agreement with myself that I would not eat and work. So I would take a bite, work a little, take a bite, work a little. It was just a conscious way to slow myself down. And it worked. If you saw my Instagram, you know it worked because I took a picture of it and I was like, look. Oh, I actually posted it in y'all's Facebook group too, the private Facebook group. Guys, you have to give me information. So like if you want me to run models, make sure you say, this is the circumstance that I had. Like this is what's happening and I feel stressed and I'm eating. I need to know some thoughts that are leading to it. If you wait till dinner until you are hungry, but it's later in the evening, should you still eat it even if it's closer to bedtime? I do. I haven't had dinner yet, Beth. So it's 6:45. I was not hungry before this call. I was starting to get hungry, but I really didn't want to scarf my food down. I wanted to enjoy it. So I'm eating dinner probably at 7:30 tonight. I think it's fine. It does kind of jack with your sleep just a little bit, guys. I will say this. I wear an Oura ring, and the Oura ring is one of those rings that like it takes your temperature, it does your heart rate, does all kinds of stuff. And one of the things I've noticed is that when I eat late at night, the next day, it will tell me it took a long time for your resting heart rate to come down because it's digesting. And so it affects my sleep pattern. And then that affects my energy for the entire day. Okay. Amaka. Hey.
Hello.
I got to turn you up. Chris has got everything turned down. So what's your question? I'm good.
I said part of my look today was, yes, I have my hair still wrapped from this morning.
Oh, that's okay. I show up looking like,
It's one of those days. Yeah. So I was kind of like thinking like which question to ask. I'm going to, obviously it would be a hunger scale. So when I'm still having trouble with, like deciding which one to focus on because I feel like the whole thing is overwhelming.
All right, tell me which one you want to focus on.
So I was initially focusing on the negative two.
Okay.
But I feel like I use the negative two as an excuse to overeat.
Well, then you're still working on it.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm not sure if I should focus on negative two or if I should focus more on the plus two. I feel like
Well, let me ask you this. With the negative two, have you gotten really good at waiting for the negative two?
Really good, no.
Okay. I would wait until you're really good at getting to the negative two. And then I would simultaneously, you don't have to work on stopping at the plus two. I want you to be totally aware of the thought that I'm waiting on my negative two and that has nothing to do with my plus two. Mm-hmm. Like, I need you to start unwinding. So while you're working on your negative two, you want to tell yourself, doesn't matter how hungry I get, my stomach doesn't change. My plus two will not change. Like, because right now what you're doing is you're reinforcing, well, I'm waiting on my negative two, I'm practicing my negative two, but it's affecting my plus two. And it doesn't.
Yeah.
What affects the plus two?
Yeah. I don't know if I, well, that could be the thought, but I also feel like.
It's always the thought. Just. Let me just say that. It's always the thought.
Okay. So.
Well, tell me, like, because the one thing that you said was, I'm waiting on my negative two, but I feel like it's affecting my plus two.
I feel
and
like
it's not. Yeah. What affects the plus two?
Yeah, I feel like I use my fact that I'm focused on my negative two to be like, fuck it, the positive two.
Yeah, that's the thought. Oh, okay. That's what you have to start unwinding. You have to, like, change it to, I'm working on my negative two, and that has nothing to do with stopping it satisfied. You have to quit practicing, fuck it. Like, you realize you're doing it. So now when you're waiting for hunger, you have to tell yourself, like, over and over again, and my plus two will still come. It will not have anything to do with waiting. And I will probably say, fuck it. And I'm not going to do, I'm not associating that with the negative two. If I'm saying fuck it, it's because I've decided it has nothing to do with the negative two. Because you're associating, I'm waiting for hunger, and that is why I am now overeating. So now I want to switch to working on the other side, rather than getting really good at waiting on hunger.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's exactly what I'm thinking. I feel like I'm...
Well, let's run the model.
Okay.
What's your circumstance? Dinner?
Every meal. I know. Yeah, we can do dinner, because dinner tends to be the food I like the most.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's just like, but I just want you to know this, that the circumstance is going to be the negative two.
Okay.
This is the circumstance. I've hit my negative two. And your thought is what?
Finally.
Finally?
Yeah. Which seems so like, big, like, oh, I can finally eat now. And it's like, I have to get all the food.
I can finally eat now. Yeah, that's not a helpful thought.
Well, that's why I'm on here.
Yeah, but I just want you to notice.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just waiting.
You are.
All day.
But why is that a problem? Why is it a problem to wait to eat?
I feel like I'm like missing out, like on the food. If I don't.
You are missing out on the food. Why is that a problem?
If I miss, I feel like if I am waiting, but like longer I wait for food, the less I get to eat in the day.
Yeah, that's how that works.
So it sounds stupid as I'm saying it out loud. Full stop.
But I want you to think about this. Why, like, you still have 24 hours. Just sometimes you're not going to be eating through it. I'm going to tell you, just because I know you, you're putting too much of your happiness on your food. Like, when you say, I can finally eat now, I'm going to tell you the feeling is relief, right? Or yeah. Excitement or giddy.
Yeah.
Is that what we want around a salad in our evening meal?
No, I just want it to be just, okay, I'm hungry and I'm going to eat and then move on.
Yeah, we want it. Guys, I'm just going to tell you, unless you guys are having your exception meal, I want you guys to like look forward to your food. It tastes good and stuff. But when you're seeking food for relief and for your joy and for your excitement, we have a problem the rest of the day. That's why you're going to want to overeat, because if that's the source of the joy, the relief, and the contentment, you're going to want to eat long. It's just like Laura. She has like this thing, like, I'm like, what's next? When you're not eating, what's going to happen? It's the bullshit that we're going to go back to. That's why we want to eat. It is a good distraction from it. So you have to stick with this model and figure out, all right, without my food, am I just sitting around getting through my life so I can have my relief meal? Or do I want to start figuring out how to have relief in my life so that I can just eat to fuel the amazing things I'm doing for myself?
That one sounds better.
A lot better, right?
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, damn, because that's basically all I did this weekend. I was having a like depressive episode, and I was just like, let me just, I wasted so much time, just like wasting time eating, waiting for the next food. Like, oh, shit. Yeah,
you need to get to, like, I think for you, one of my biggest pieces of advice is something I'm working on recently is you're going to need to get to a point to where you can listen to all the stuff you say to yourself in a compassionate way and not in a way that means I have to get away from my depressive thoughts. I have to get it, like, I don't like who I am. Judging the things that you think about yourself, all of that, you've got to take the next step forward, which means all of that thinking stays. This is all of my thinking. Yeah. This is not who I am. This is not a bad thing happening to me. This is a collection of the things that I've thought for a long time. They're not going anywhere anytime soon, but I don't have to believe them. I get to watch them now. I want you to start understanding the difference between the thoughts you have that you feel are so real to these are the things I think that cause me to feel sad or feel depressed. There's a big difference. A lot of you think the weekends are just depressing for me. Like, no. Or the time that I'm not eating is just sad and depressing or whatever. It's like, no. It's the thoughts that I use to create this kind of energy. And the more you get to where you see all of them and you notice it's like, and this is how I'm thinking about myself. It allows your brain to start opening the door up to, okay, so if it's just how we're thinking, we can kind of start changing it whenever we're ready. And some of it you may just want to hold on to and not feel bad about it. Like when I sit around and I think negative things about my body, I don't like go like, oh my God, I can't think stuff like that. This is why I feel so bad. I don't freak out over it. I'm just like, yeah, like I've thought negative things about my body for years. There's also things I like. And sometimes I think about that too. Like it's just sentences, but what are we doing? What's next? That's what I always go to. More models.
I know.
The best practice for you is to take some of your food away and tell yourself, I'm not eating because I love myself. I'm not eating because I love myself. This is why I'm doing this for myself. This is why I'm waiting for my hunger so that I can hear this other stuff that's not me loving myself. Without the food, I get an opportunity to hear that conversation. And I get an opportunity to talk to myself in a new way. And I get an opportunity to quit fighting with myself. You're this close.
I know.
Keep doing it. Don't stop.
Okay.
All right, lady.
Thank you.
I'm glad you got on tonight.
Me too.
She has such an amazing smile. Let's see. I find that I need less food, especially because of upping my water. I feel deprived if I have to miss a meal because I'm not hungry. Remember, deprivation is a feeling generated by a thought. So if you like, put up here. Not hungry. Deprivation would be, I have to miss a meal. No, you don't have to miss a meal. You know what you get to think? I'm not hungry. I'm going to miss out on my size 20s when I'm in an 18. Like, guys, we can think anything we want. Be very mindful. You guys, watch how you like, but when I'm not, and if I miss a meal, I feel deprived. It's like, it's the thought I'm missing a meal. You're not missing a meal. What if you're giving yourself the gift of weight loss this week? What if you're allowing your body to normalize its relationship with food? You know what is depriving? When you think you need to eat, even if you're not hungry, and you deprive yourself of a few years on your life. I'm going to guarantee you at 85, none of us are going to sit around and be like, man, you know, when I was in my 50s losing weight, I sure miss all them meals. You are going to miss years of your life one day if we don't start thinking differently about only eating when we're actually hungry. The body was designed to do it. And I'm not even asking, I'm not asking you guys to be like some kind of squirrel in a trap eating your leg off. I just want you to have slight hunger. That's normal. Feeling deprived because you're not eating when you aren't hungry, that's not normal. That's the part we have to all understand. We've been conditioned this way. It's time to decondition that thinking. Work in ED, bunch of patients come in. I don't know what an ED is. How the hell am I going to do this? That thought, Ms. Nicole, is I would change it to just, I'm not going to be able to do this, because that's a question and we don't put questions in the thought line. So I'd probably just change it to, I'm not going to be able to handle this. Stress, eat, and then the result is you can't do your life. Work in ED, the patients come in. I'd also clean up a bunch of patients. I'm giving you that. I would talk about exactly how many come in. Is anyone dying taking care of them if I stop and breathe? I would just put, I can handle this. Just make it real simple. This is doable. I can eat, or like, I don't know if you're stopping to eat or breathe or whatever. It's like, I can do this one patient at a time. Because no matter what, I don't care if 30 patients come in or one patient comes in. It doesn't matter. Are you going to be like, all right, well, since 30 people came into the emergency department, all of you were having a group emergency work today. So everyone strip your clothes down and I'm just going to like line you up and see you. No, you're probably still, no matter how many patients come in, you're probably still taking them one at a time, right? Like your brain has to not, you have to teach yourself, brain, we're not freaking out. There's 30 people that walked in at the same time. We're still only going to be able to see one. Time to prioritize. Yes, they are dying. No, not one at a time. I'm not really sure what that means. I get it. So if people are dying, like I'm assuming that if people are, let me just put it this way, guys, when it comes to an emergency room, if I'm in an emergency room and I come in dying, I really don't want the doctor with hands on two different people doing this. For fuck's sake, please tell me that if I go to the emergency room, that the doctor might be going to one right after another, but isn't like sitting there and multitasking. We can still only intubate a line one person at a time. Yeah, that's what, yeah, here's some of my girls. Yeah, okay. I was just like, Lord, what's happened in emergency rooms? Thank God I'm healthy. Y'all are freaking me out. That's a terrible model, by the way. All right, guys. That's all we got for tonight. The only thing I would say, Nicole, is just I can handle this. And then, oh, let me do one more. I'm feeling overwhelmed because we may have to move and I find myself seeking satisfaction from food. What would my circumstance be, moving or more involved? I would put moving and I would put like the date of when we're moving and to where we're moving. Like I would try to get a very focused circumstance line, like we're moving on this date. Like, and you probably need to have several models. So like have one for the date that you're moving, when you have to be packed, that kind of stuff. Break it down like that. But overall, it's like, I always think of it this way, guys. I'm going to end on this. Shit's going to happen. Like, you're going to get moved, and you can either get there weighing more or you can get there weighing less. One way or the other, I bet you that you're going to move. And so you just make you just tell yourself, I don't eat when I'm stressed. That's not what I do. I will not gain weight over a move. I refuse to do that. That is like a cleanup thought right there. When I feel stressed, rather than wasting time eating, I'm going to sit and make a list of some shit that I probably need to be doing, or I'm going to make a list of all the things that I think are going wrong, and I'm going to prove to myself they're not. But I'm not going to eat over it. And a lot of times, guys, you just have to decide, I'm moving. And sometimes I feel very stressed. But here's the protocol. We don't eat over it anymore. And when I want to eat and I catch myself eating, I stop in the middle of it. Decide how you're going to show up for this move. Okay, let me end on a couple things and we're out. Number one, if you guys did not see in your massive action line, if you are going to do the 6-month coaching program with me, where you come to Nashville for 6 days, we work together a couple months before, then we're going to work together afterward, please go to pnptribe.com, go to live events. You'll see the coaching with Corinne. Check it out. There's a payment plan and you can pay in one lump sum, but we are closing the registration down on October 28th. So if you don't get in for October 28th, it'll be shut down for another year. I don't think I'm doing it again next year. It's because it's a long commitment for people, and I'm not really sure we'll be able to get another one in. So don't mark my words on it, as Logan would say, but I don't want to say I'm definitely not doing it, but I'm like 80% sure we won't repeat it again for another year, just because I know me and I know how I am with you guys, and I want to make sure that I'm always fresh. And so I don't like to overextend myself with you guys. We also, April camp is sold out. So if you're wanting to do camp, October is still open. And so is Don't Stop Believing. The new purse size planner will be eligible to be ordered. I believe it's going to be sometime the week of November 4th. I think it's that first week of November. We'll be taking orders, and it's at the printer now. So for all of you who've been dying for the purse size planner, it is at the printer. It is very similar to the big one. The only difference is we had to remove the TDL journal pages, but you still have your 60-day planner stuff. So we got almost every single thing in it. Let me see if there's anything else. I think that's all. So this week, me and the team are going to be in San Diego. We are doing a training for 3 days, all on how to do digital courses and just upping our game on digital courses for you guys, because everything that we do for you is a digital course. So we will be there. We will still be checking in. We will still be doing all the things. You will not miss us. Our calls, we won't have our call on Thursday and we won't have our call on Wednesday. The Weekend Motivator will still launch. But other than that, we're going to be we're not going to do calls the end of this week, but we will be in the Facebook, we will be in Ask Coaches, we will be doing all the things. So just so you guys know, No BS is, we're doing this because No BS is getting a major refresh for 2020. It's going to be amazing. I am just such a better coach than I was when I first wrote it. So it's very exciting. I'm really excited to rewrite it. So we're taking this time to get our head straight on the latest and newest stuff in digital course creation, and we're all together. So we're going to be brainstorming and thinking about you and researching you and talking about all the things. So, all right, guys, y'all have a good one. I'll talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.